Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20, we'll read the entire chapter together. And with God's help, we want to look at verses 4 through 6 for our text. Let us now hear God's word as it comes to us. Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho, eastward they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before congregation. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and sacred word. May he add his very own blessing unto it. Dear congregation, to bring up the idea that we have many needs, well, it doesn't take long to realize it is true. We have many needs. We are a needy nation, a nation that is in turmoil. But man's greatest need is not just life, is it? Man's greatest need is how is he going to stand before a holy triune Jehovah to be accepted by this God and not rejected? For we realize God does not wink at sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. And so man's greatest need, our greatest need this afternoon hour, is to have a perfect righteousness before a holy God. And to our children, that means to have perfect obedience. And it doesn't take long to realize that we don't have this perfection. In fact, it's worse than what we can imagine. We think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. He says, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But also, the church has a need today. The church has a need of a whole and complete Bible. We live in a day and age that much of the church rips the Old Testament apart from the New Testament, and the Old Testament is cast aside as Jewish legalism. And with God's help this afternoon, we want to see that we might glean much. We might glean much from the Old Testament. We glean that by looking at cities of refuge. As we come to a holy God, we realize that we must have a deliverance. A deliverance from God, a divine refuge from the avenger of blood. And we think about Old Testament Israel when someone was in the field with his neighbor. And maybe the axe had slipped off the handle and he killed his neighbor by accident. The next of kin, a revenger or avenger of blood, would hunt him down to the death. There would be anger. There would be hot, seething vengeance for a family member that was killed. And there was justification because blood was shed. And we live in a day and age where shed blood has little importance. But the life is in the blood. Man is made in God's own image. And when blood is shed, it demands the death penalty. But we want to look at, with God's help, a refuge for desperate sinners in three places. First of all, in light of our misery. Secondly, a place of deliverance. And third, a joyful freedom. A refuge or a desperate refuge for sinners. In light of our misery, a place of deliverance and joyful freedom. Let us consider then this refuge for sinners in light of our misery. Verse 4 of our text. When he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And just thinking about our Heidelberg Catechism question 2, thinking about our comfort from question 1. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? And the answer is first, how great. How great my sins and miseries are. And congregation, have we ever really considered that? And young children as well, have we really considered the magnitude of our sin and our misery in rebelling against a holy triune God? Not just because Adam's sin was imputed to us. Not even before we made confession of faith. But those that have confessed faith in Christ in the church and went to the Lord's table. Do I dare say it? How freely we can sin? How freely we can take God for granted? How freely we can go about our daily lives in forgetting about God? This is what our instructor is speaking about. And this is what we find, this misery, in our text as well. Thus we find God's provision for Old Testament Israel is never for present needs only. Now, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about cute Bible stories in the Old Testament that we can sit down with children and read it to them. And isn't it wonderful that God provides a city? But it's always a prophecy. It's a word picture of a coming Messiah. And what we have in our text, this city of refuge, is not just for Israel's comfort for the manslayer, but it's for all of us today that we might look for a coming Messiah. City of refuge was typology that we find in the Old Testament and again mentioned in the New Testament, that there is deliverance from those that have misery. The city of refuge was a safe haven for one who accidentally, and mark it well, who accidentally killed his neighbor. God provided a divine asylum for that man until a trial was made. to determine guilt or innocence by the elders, that the elders would examine this man, examine the circumstances, and they would provide a safe haven for him if the death was accidental. And the man was allowed to find a safe place within that city. The desperation of this manslayer, and certainly living in a fallen world, there's many things that happen because of sin, are there not? And not just death from sin, but accidents happen, if we can call them accidents. Accidents like we find in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 5, and it says, "When a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with an axe to cut down a tree, and a head slippeth from the helve, and it lighteth upon his neighbor, and that he die." You can almost put yourself into this scenario. Your neighbor goes out into the wood to help you cut down trees. And of course, in those days, there were no chainsaws, but there's an axe. Your neighbor, out of good intention to help you, well, you find him laying bleeding to death because the head of the axe slipped off, more than likely hitting him in the head. And you can almost imagine the terror and the sorrow that flooded over this man's soul, not only over the supposed guilt that when this man comes back out of the wood and his neighbor is not with him and his family is asking, where is he? Not only the supposed guilt, but the blood guilt. "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And thus there was an avenger of blood, a near kinsman, would hunt this man down. There would be vengeance burning hot in him. Could be a brother or an uncle. Could be a cousin of the dead man. And thus there was a need for a God-ordained city of refuge. A refuge for a man that is in total desperation, one that is running for his life. And thus Israel established 6 cities of refuge, 3 on each side of Jordan. And it was not limited to Israel. It was also for the stranger that dwelt within Israel. Not the Philistines, but those that dwelt within Israel. It could be a servant. It could be a wayfaring stranger. And the cities were not to be more than a day's journey away. They had to be readily accessible. And it struck me, and the stranger that dwelt within them. What does that mean for us today? That this city of refuge is not only for the Lord's covenant people, which Israel was, it's also for the church visitor. It's also for the stranger that comes in within our gates. And maybe for the first time they sit down, and they ought to hear the gospel. They ought to hear clearly that there is a city of refuge for a guilty sinner. And to be guilty of bloodshed in Israel, it was a catastrophic event in a man's life. In early Israel, when the avenger of blood came, it could result in a blood feud. It could result in the entire liquidation of a whole family or clan. And now it maybe is making it clear to us why Islam does what they do. How there is terrorism and how they have vengeance burning hot and how they would readily exterminate an entire clan. Muslim against Muslim. We find it from here. But this man, he had to take a journey, a day's journey. He had to leave his home. He had to bid goodbye to his wife and children. He left his possessions. He left his friends. He left his daily work. He was no longer a present head of a household to provide for his family. But he had one all-consuming passion. to reach the city of refuge before the avenger of blood laid hold upon him. He not only had to arrive at the city, he had to enter in at the gates of that city. Have you ever had that awe-consuming passion? Feeling the weight of the burden of sin? I think about Pilgrim's Progress. And here, this pilgrim is, and he has this weight on his back, this burden on his back. And he has one consuming passion. He has his finger in his ears. His wife and children are calling him back, and he leaves his house, and he cries out, "Life, life, eternal life." This is what this manslayer was longing for the city of refuge. He looked for life. And you and I are to glean from this that we are to flee. We are to flee from what we find later on in Pilgrim's Progress, that there was a man coming along the way. And Christian watched this man coming to him, and this man came up to him, and he hit him and knocked him down to the ground. And Christian got himself up again, and the man knocked him down again, until he realized that man was Moses. That the law is the avenger of blood. The law knocked Christian down. And you and I have to flee from this misery. We have to make a daily flight to a place of deliverance. Verse 5 in our text, "And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time." And the second thing we must know, not only how great my sins and miseries are, but how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. But we have to ask ourselves, what is biblical deliverance? What is biblical deliverance? When we think about a man or a woman bound by sin, it means we cannot deliver ourselves. Someone has to come. Someone that is capable, that has divine authority to deliver us from our sins. And so man is never delivered by religion, is he? No matter how much we strive in our daily religion, if we can put it that way, it'll never suffice us to stand before a holy God. We never add our good works to our faith, do we? Oh, we must do good works. But for our deliverance, it's only by the deliverer, our Lord Jesus Christ. We must have a perfect righteousness that'll be accepted before a holy God in light of the penalty of rebellion against a holy God. And when we think about our misery that we have to be delivered from, we have to ask ourselves, was it really that serious? Was it really that bad that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit? All they did was take a piece of fruit and eat it. But oh, that's not all they did. They acted in outright rebellion against God. And you and I have that same rebellion in us. With a clenched fist, we will say, we will not have this one rule over us. And so deliverance from the avenger of blood, from the law of God, must be a divine deliverance. And no mere man can do it. We read in the Gospels something in the Gospel that not too many people look at. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, where we find God so loved the world and so on. The last verse, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. That's present tense. That's not a bumper sticker, smile, God loves you. The Word of God tells us that the wrath of God abideth upon all those that do not believe and lay hold upon his Son for their deliverance. And thus the guilty party, the manslayer, must have free access to deliverance. He must have a clear way to the city of refuge. And the duty of the people in that day, the rulers of the towns, the cities of refuge, they had to repair the roads that led to these cities annually. They had to make a straight path for those people that needed to flee to that city. They had to remove every obstruction. In fact, they had to place a signpost at an intersection. Refuge. City of refuge. Because a manslayer has no time to look at a map. He has to flee with all that's in him to the city of refuge. And all we have signposts, don't we? We have the way made clear with free, sovereign, particular grace. The call of the gospel goes out. The gospel of good news is free deliverance in Jesus Christ. He shall save his people from their sins. It's not a possible salvation. He shall save you, child of God. He shall save you from all of your sins, past and present and future. Even the sins you forgot about. Even the sins you have no knowledge of committing. How great my sins and miseries are. We have no idea how great they are. And do we have an idea how great our Savior is? To come to such miserable sinners as we are to deliver us? But how do we, as a church, how do we maintain free access to this city of refuge? How do we provide deliverance, or at least a knowledge of deliverance for the manslayer? First of all, the truth of the gospel has to be maintained over against the lie. And beloved, there are many that proclaim a lie today. They proclaim that Christianity is not the only way. Jesus Christ is not the only way to a place in heaven. But if you are sincere, all religions will take you there. That is a lie from the evil one. Why is that? That's so covenant children. Children that have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. They might know the way to the Savior. The church. The church is our spiritual mother. The church dandles us upon her knees from the time of baptism to the time the church with the pastor lays us in the tomb. And the church instructs the children in catechism class. The church instructs off the pulpit. And beloved, we need to hear the theology and the doctrine as found in our Lord's days. Those three sections or divisions of our catechism, they are signposts that point to refuge, city of refuge. They point to Christ. And we must preach them. But also, never presumptuous regeneration. No, we don't know how early the Lord is going to work in our children. But we realize they must come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And there is false gospels out there. There are false Christs being proclaimed. Paul speaks about this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He says to the church, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. In other words, in Paul's day, it was Jesus plus circumcision. In our day, there are those in Reformed and Presbyterian churches, they're saying it's Jesus plus your good works. Or to have a faith in what the Lord is doing for us when we're sick and afflicted. That's not the gospel. The gospel is faith in what Christ has done, period. What Christ has accomplished fully upon the cross. Paul goes on, he says, there be some that trouble you and that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so Paul is not putting his arm around false prophets. He's saying, let the false prophets be accursed. Any other gospel, Paul says, except that which we have preached, apostolic doctrine, the dogma found in the Apostles' Creed. These are the signposts that lead us and point us to the city of refuge. But we have to ask ourselves, is this all that we need to save us? From the Avenger of Blood, is this all that we need, just knowing about Jesus? Knowing about Bible stories? Knowing about Jesus at Christmas time and Good Friday and Easter? Would this save this manslayer from the Avenger of Blood if he knew about the City of Refuge and never fled there? But he stayed home. He stayed with his dear wife and children. He stayed with his business. And he never fled. He just knows that there's a city. He knows there's a way. He knows there's a signpost. Maybe he walked the way on business. And he saw the signpost, refuge, City of Refuge. But he stays home. Or if he fled, and he stops at the gate of the city and looks. There's where I have to go. There's the elders. But he doesn't enter in. It's close enough because now I can go back to my family. No, in order to have this deliverance, this man has to leave his family, as Christian did in Pilgrim's Progress. We must enter in at the city. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ warns us about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is a gate, and narrow is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Have you ever meditated upon that? Few there be that find it? Few within the church? The Lord Jesus goes on to say, many will come to me in that day, the day of the Lord, and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things? These are people that call Jesus Lord. And he says, many will come, and I will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Are we with the many that know about this way but have never come to Christ? Or have we left everything and fled unto our Lord Jesus? But last, we want to look at a joyful freedom. We've been considering a refuge for desperate sinners. In the first place, we saw in light of our misery. that the avenger of blood is pursuing us unless we're in Christ. And secondly, we saw that there is a place of deliverance, a city of refuge, a city, a safe habitation. But now we want to look at a joyful freedom, or we could say gratitude, taken from our text, verse 6. And then he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from which he fled. And we think about that third aspect, that triple knowledge of how we can have comfort, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such great deliverance. We live in a day and age, there's a lot of miserable church members. Now, I'm not saying we have to have a smile on our face all the day long. But we ought to be a people, a joyful people, yes, a sober, joyful people, but we ought to know what gratitude is. We ought to have an expression from our hearts, a gratitude to God for such great deliverance. And that's what this man Slayer found. He found refuge in this city. He went to the door of this, or the gate of the city, and the elders received him. He had the approval of the elders. He had the approval of the court of that city, those that are in authority. And he found life and comfort. And maybe the avenger of blood was just a hair's breadth away from him. Maybe he entered that city by the skin of his teeth, and he collapsed in front of the elders. But to remain safe, he had to stay within that city. He had to stay until the elders and the congregation had a trial. And they had all the evidence set before them, and they had to find him not guilty. But even then, he could not leave. It's much like we think back in Noah's day, when God called Noah and all his house into the ark, and the Lord shut the door. There was safety in the ark. Noah had no idea where God was taking him. He had no idea how long he was going to stay in the ark. He was shut in. He was shut in by the hand of a loving Heavenly Father. And to try to get out from that ark would be certain death, wouldn't it? And that's a sad state sometimes of young people raised in a church. They can't wait till they're old enough to get out from mom and dad's influence, to be out on their own. They can't wait to leave a conservative biblical church. They want freedom. And yet, beloved, there is freedom in the ark. There is freedom at Hill Calvary. And there is freedom. Oh, there's freedom embracing Reformation truth. To be sons and daughters of the Reformation. To have that watch cry, sola scriptura, sole Deo gloria. To leave biblical truth is not freedom. To leave biblical worship for man-made entertainment. To leave a sober and reverent worship service for something that is light and frothy is not freedom. It's moving away from a holy God. And so we're joined together in the city of refuge. And this man found joy. And certainly our city of refuge is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? And the avenger of blood found a man. The avenger of blood found a son of Adam. The avenger of blood found the man, Christ Jesus. God says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And you know, don't you? You know the price that this man, this son of man, had to pay. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the avenger of blood exacted every bit of vengeance for the manslayer. Are you the manslayer? Are you the one that Moses is chasing? Are you the one that Moses is hunting down? Then consider what Christ has done. He shed his blood. He willingly gave himself. In fact, it says he set his face toward Jerusalem. He wasn't fleeing the avenger of blood. He ran full into his arms. His active obedience, his passive obedience. He willingly gave himself for his beloved bride. Child of God, our Lord Jesus Christ willingly for our sins. Our blood guilt for a broken law of God. And thus this misery and divine deliverance, it still separated this man from his family until the death of the high priest. He still had to stay there. But the typology doesn't just focus on the paschal blood that the high priest offered, did it? It focused upon the high priest. What did the tabernacle service, along with the city of refuge, what did the tabernacle service point to? It pointed to Messiah. It pointed to God's own Son. Until the death of the high priest, until our high priest gave his life, we had no freedom to return home. We still had to stay in the city of refuge. But once the high priest died, once we look at Calvary 2,000 years ago, we have a joyful freedom. A freedom that is only supplied by divine grace, sovereign particular grace, that God has dealt with us in mercy. Our living in time under the blood of the everlasting covenant is a sure and complete deliverance for us. And that's hard to understand at times, at least in our hearts, isn't it? We have preparatory week, and we examine ourselves in misery and deliverance and gratitude. What do we do with our sins? Well, we cast them all upon Christ. Hey, beloved, never consider yourself a worthy partaker of the body and blood of Christ if you think you've lived a pretty good preparatory week. You are worthy only by realizing how unworthy we are and how exceedingly worthy our Lord Jesus Christ is. And we wait. We wait in joyful expectation now in time. No, we don't wait for Christ to rise from the dead, because our high priest not only was crucified, dead, and buried, but he rose again from the dead, and beloved, he's coming back. He's coming back as he delivered Israel out of Egypt. And the first thing the Lord did in his deliverance of Israel, he destroyed Egypt and her gods. And our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to destroy all the wicked, because the wrath of God abideth upon all those that do not believe in him. He will destroy all his and our enemies. And our great high priest shall return, and we shall see him. We'll sing the song of Moses. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to look into the face of eternal love when you really see Jesus in the flesh? No, not an idolatrous picture, but when you see him returning and you hear his call for him bidding you to come unto him. Our great prophet and priest and king. How often then do we flee to the city of refuge? Just one time and that's it? Like so many that make a walk down an aisle, an altar call of, I've decided for Jesus and now I go on with my life? No, we go daily to him, don't we? No, not to get resaved. But we flee daily to Christ. We ought to flee to him. There ought to be a city of refuge in our morning devotions, knowing that we're going to sin this day, and asking God to have mercy upon us and fill us with the Holy Ghost, that we might live a life of joyful freedom. Let us then never be persuaded to leave the city of refuge. Let us always cling together in a biblical and reformed worship. Mount Zion, too, is a city of refuge, is it not? The church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the instituted church with pastor and elders and deacons, is a city of refuge. And we find joy and gladness in serving him. And thus, if you have never come to Christ, if you have looked all your life at the gate of the city and said, yes, there's a sign that points to the city. Have you ever come? Maybe the reason people don't come is they feel no need. They never felt the hot breath of the Avenger of Blood breathing down their neck. And they never realized that there's a place available for them. The city of refuge. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we do give thee thanks for Old and New Testament and how these two tables, so to speak, are knit together as promise given and promise fulfilled. And grant, Lord, that we might find Jesus Christ, thy Son, on every page of the Old Testament. And thus we ask that thou wilt seal thy word to our hearts, that we might go out into this new week. And, oh, Lord, that people might know that we have been with Jesus this afternoon, this day as well, that we might go into our daily labors knowing that there is a city of refuge, even if we have fled to it many years ago, that we might find peace and safety, particularly in the oasis of this local church. Have mercy upon us and hear this our prayer, for we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.